Well, this is a great, great day for our three graduates, but not just for you all, it's for all of us. We look forward to this special Sunday every year, but when I look at you, it's hard to believe that you're already high school graduates. I bet moms and dads are saying exactly the same thing. Skylar, we're so happy you've become a part of our church family. Skylar came to us because of her friendship with Haley and being in the North Davidson band, and you are the drum major in the band, I understand. I had a cousin years ago who was the drum major, and I just thought that was the most awesome thing. That was just almost like being the high school quarterback. But since we didn't have a very good football team, it was even better. But you have become a part of our family here at our church. And that's why we want you to know today how much we love you and care for you, and we're going to pray for you. And Tori and Harrison, I've known you all from the day you were born. And we have done so many wonderful things together. We've gone on trips together. We've been in Bible school. I remember when your moms and dads were standing right here holding you when you were little babies. From the dedication to baptism to mission trips to passport to going on to see the Dash play and other things like that, we've all kind of grown up together. And I've known not only your families, of course, but your grandparents. Harrison, I remember your great-grandmother. We were very close to her, and she would be so proud of you today. We have those special people in our life, and I want you to know that everyone in this church is part of your family. And we're all proud of you today. Your high school graduation is one of the most significant milestones in your life, because I want you to think about this. There will never be another time in your life where the future is more unlimited than it is right now. I mean, you really can go anywhere you want to go, and you can be anyone you want to be. When you get to college, some of you already know what you want to do, but you're going to declare a major. And maybe after a year or so, you may change that major, but that's okay. But right now, you can dream great dreams. And you can go anywhere you want to go. And that's why it's so exciting. You all remember this book, don't you? The Little Engine That Could? I thought you did. maybe this is really old. But I want to tell you something about The Little Engine That Could, and something I bet hardly anyone knows. Do you know this actually appeared for the first time as a sermon back in the early 1900s in New York City? A minister came up with this story, an old Riverdale, I guess. And the minister told the story about the little engine that could, because he wanted to demonstrate the power of positive thinking and believing in yourself and believing that no matter how great the obstacle is, you could always overcome it. And so the little engine said, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can, but I know you can. I don't have any doubt that you can, because number one, I know that you can because God has a plan for your life. When Harrison read that scripture a few moments ago from Jeremiah, and by the way, when I gave Harrison the bulletin on Friday, I said, Harrison, your name was already in here before you agreed to do this, but I knew you were going to do it, and Tori, I think it was the same way with you. But I know these young people, and I know that you can. You can do anything you want to do in life. But the greatest thing is when you discover what God wants you to do with your life. And you think about it, God made us. God knows you better than you know yourself. And so if you can discover God's will for your life, if you can discover God's plan for your life, then you're going to be happy and fulfilled, and you're going to realize that you are being a part of this great creative order that is beyond all of our understanding. I can't begin to tell you about how many times I've had people to come to me and say, people that are very successful, people that have made a lot of money, people that live in nice big houses, and they say, you know, everybody looks at me and they think I'm successful, but I'm not happy. I'm not doing what God wants me to do. I know you can if you discover God's will and God's plan for your life. And when you do, this passage that Tori read about, you discover a peace that passes all of our understanding. That word peace is an interesting word. It's the word shalom. You've heard that. When we take people to Israel, I tell them, it's good to know some of the words in the other language. Now, going to Belize is great because they speak English, so we don't have to worry about that. But in Israel, I tell people, there's only one word you need to know, and that's shalom. Because shalom means hello, shalom means goodbye, shalom means thank you, shalom means you're welcome. If you just say shalom, shalom, everybody's happy. But shalom means God's perfect peace. And when you find God's will for your life, you're going to know it. People say, well, how do you know? I mean, does God just speak to you out loud? No. But there's something inside of you. God has a way of opening doors. God has a way of putting people in your life that say, I see this gift in you. I know that you can do this. I can see you being this person. God has a way of opening the doors. When I used to think there were a whole lot of things I wanted to do in my life. I wanted to be a sports announcer, Harrison. Can you imagine that? But God had other plans. And somebody said, well, how did you know when you were going to be a preacher? Did God speak to you out loud? And I said, oh, no, it was louder than that. And it really was. I didn't have any doubt. And, you know, I did get to be a sports announcer for a little while. I know you can do it when you discover God's plan for your life. I know that you can because the scripture that Tori read, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Have you ever had a challenge and you just said, I just don't know if I'm going to be able to do this? Maybe you've probably been through this maybe with exams. Maybe you're trying to get the band organized and it's just total chaos. And you say, I just don't see how I'm going to do this. See, you don't have to be the one to do it. But Christ working through your life, the impossible can become possible. Now, Harrison and Tori in a few weeks are going to be going to Belize. And when we get to our camp in Belize, I'm going to tell you some stories about how that camp became a reality. And there's a whole lot of people in this congregation, there's a whole lot of people here today who were a part of that. We have a men's Bible study. Harrison, your dad and your granddad are a part of that. And we were talking Thursday, and Mr. Vinon Williams back there told a story about that we sent a crew to Belize. How many of you guys were on some of those building crews? Raise your hand. Sterling, raise your hand. And Fred Belk up there, and Vinon, and I know Jim Tate. And we used to take a bunch of guys down there to build. And Mr. Williams was telling the story about how they were supposed to put a roof on this structure. And people that really know about building, like Mr. Sterling and Mr. Fred Belk, they looked at it and said, There's no way we're going to do this. Isn't that right, Sterling? I mean, these guys said, there is no way in 5 days that we're going to get this built. Well, guess what? I'm going to show you that building. And I remember when they came back, they said, we don't know how we did it, but it wasn't them. They had been totally dedicated. It was Christ working through them. I know you can, because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Now, I've got one more thing I want to share with you, but I want this to be kind of personal, so hold on just a second. I'm kind of like that old engine, you know, the one that just couldn't make it. So I'm going to sit down for a minute, and we're just going to have us a little talk. I know you can, because you have so many wonderful people in your life who love you and who care about you and who have always been there for you and who will encourage you and help you all along the way. I wrote an article a couple of weeks ago in the newspaper about the unsung heroes in our society, the people who have influenced more lives and never really get the credit, and that's our teachers. You've got some special teachers, don't you? You have some people that have been so important in your life. It's kind of a miracle that I can get up and talk to you today, or any Sunday I can get up and talk. I'm going to tell you something I bet you didn't know about. And you, Harrison and Tori, know me really well because you've known me your whole life. Do you know I used to have a speech impediment? And I could barely talk. Well, I don't talk about it a lot. I had a teacher, Miss Bess Summers, who believed in me. And I had a grandmother, and I had a great aunt, and they were former teachers, retired teachers, and they believed in me. And when I was in the third grade, Miss Summers would call me over and she would say, Ray, next Friday, I want you to give a speech on Abraham Lincoln. Now, I noticed it took me a while to figure this out, but none of the other kids had to give speeches. And then I would go home and I would tell my grandmother, I'm supposed to give this speech on Abraham Lincoln. Next thing I knew, I was there with my great aunt and my grandmother, and they were like drill sergeants. They didn't cut me any slack, but they made me stand up and they made me speak and they made me go over and over and over again until finally I was able to get up and to speak without any problem. Have you heard the story about if you're walking down the road and you see a turtle on a fence post? He didn't get there by himself. Just think about it, you know. Somebody had to pick him up. And somebody is always going to be there to pick you up, because there are people in your life who believe in you, and they have picked you up when you had fallen down, and they're always going to believe in you. And everyone in this church, we're here to tell you, we're going to pick you up. We're going to bless you. You have been blessed because you believe in the power of redemption and you believe in the power of love. This is like the 42nd year that I've done a baccalaureate address to the seniors in my church. That's a long time. And I bet there's a theme in all of those, and it probably goes back to one thing Jesus said, and that is love one another. You all knew Mr. Jim Phillips. That's Jillian's granddad, Sarah, your dad. Mr. Jim Phillips was such a wonderful, kind, compassionate person. He was the guy that always put the candy in the office. You know who I'm talking about now. Well, Mr. Phillips, his family told me that when they were just sitting around talking, if somebody started to say something maybe that wasn't very nice about somebody else, you know how some people say, well, did you hear about so-and-so, and started to gossip about somebody or say something unflattering? Mr. Phillips would say, well, I don't know what Bible you have, but my Bible says to love one another as I have loved you. You've grown up hearing about love and acceptance and compassion and grace. You've been blessed. The last thing Jesus told his disciples before he was arrested was, I'm going to leave you a new commandment, that you love one another. I know you can, because you believe in love, because people have been there to lift you up, because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, and because God has a plan for your life. The choir has a very special anthem that I think expresses what we're all trying to say about being a blessing.